Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Tech Bro Countdown and Kickoff. I'm Dan Albers. I'm joined here by former Anderson High School graduate, Mike Wan, and head of the LPGA. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dan. Good to be here.
Just real quick, we usually typically do this with a lot of the guys that are former grads, just to kind of catch up with what they're doing and everything. Just talk a little bit about your time at Anderson High School and when you played and also the position you played.
Yeah, I'll always remember Anderson because I moved in at the end of my sophomore year, so I did that traumatic move, in my case, from Chicago to Cincinnati. And, you know, you'll never forget, if you've ever moved in high school, what it feels like walking the cafeteria on day one. You don't know a soul, don't know where to sit, who wants you to sit. You know, people bring their lunch, buy their lunch. And so Anderson quickly became the place that that embraced me. Right from the beginning, when I joined, I joined the baseball team in the spring, which was going on, and then started summer practice with football. And Anderson High School and Anderson Sports was my family for my first couple of years after the move, because it's everything I knew. And those guys, which I'm sure as most of the alumni would commit to, those guys have become lifelong friends. But I'll always remember Anderson as the place that I was scared to death of on day one and consider home now, many years later.
Well, that's great. Well, and you also, I believe, you were the quarterback on the football team. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, played back then, and also back then it was some kind of lean years. But also talk a little bit about, was there any games that you played at Anderson that stuck out in your mind, or also any players that you played against or played with?
Well, you know, my junior year, I played free safety, and I think I was about 155 pounds, you know, so I remember a lot of cleat marks, you know, up my chest. But we actually had a pretty good team my junior year. The class a year ahead of me was pretty strong. My senior year, I don't remember. I think we were 500 at best, but I'll always remember my senior year. I mean, those are my buddies, you know, from life. I remember a couple of big things. I remember, I remember overthrowing somebody in the end zone when we went for two to win with no time left on the clock. Overthrew my buddy Mike Andrews, wide open in the end zone, and I threw it about 4 feet over his head with the adrenaline. I remember having a complete shootout with Indian Hill High School on my last game, my last senior year. I think both teams threw for over 400 yards of passing offense. It was great because, you know, our coach knew it was last game, and their coach did too. I don't remember the score, but it was 30s and 40s, and from a quarterback's perspective, it was wide open, and it was probably the most fun I ever had on a football field.
That's all. You know, that's funny because we interviewed one of your former players, in Tony Diane, and he actually brought that same point up, that Mike Wan overthrew Andrews in the end, that would have won the game. So he brought that up, so he kind of remembers that too as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, those guys bring it up every time we're together, so I'm sure we actually are getting together. We call it the Redskin Roundup. Every 2 years, we meet somewhere in the U.S. for a 3 or 4 day golf outing, and this year it's down in Central Florida on Palm Coast side, and Diana will be there, so I'm sure after a couple of Bud Lights, she'll be explaining how far Wan overthrew Andrews in the end zone.
That's fine. Well, that was my next question was, obviously you do then. I was going to ask you if you still keep in touch with a lot of your former teammates.
Yeah, you know, I went to Miami of Ohio. A lot of my buddies went to UC, and so we were able to kind of stay closer than maybe most of the college years. Then, you know, what happens to everybody after college, everybody moves all over. I was in California for 20 years before moving back to Florida. In California, you just sort of get disconnected, not by design, just 3 hours of time change is sort of all it takes. But since I've been back in the East Coast time zone, it's funny, I've been a much smarter alumni than I was probably in California. And, yeah, we try to get together every couple of years. Some guys skip one here or there, depending on graduations, weddings, whatever's going on in their lives. But it's nice to be able to get back together, and it's amazing how fast it becomes the same old cafeteria experience at Anderson High School, because you slide right back into, I mean, these are guys that'll be friends for life.
That is great. And then, you know, have you ever had the opportunity to follow the Redskins? I mean, obviously you probably heard from your friends on what they've done and what they have done in the past.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't really tell you probably what's gone on the last, you know, 8 or 9 years, but when Anderson really got to be a powerhouse and started competing on a statewide level, I started getting emails and calls, and of course I'd start doing some Google searches myself, and it's great to see. I mean, there was always that potential, but it's unfortunately it missed my years. It seemed like everybody who was competing at that level was playing against us, and it wasn't us. But it's great to see, and it's great to see what's happened with that sports program.
Yeah, and that's kind of the next question I was going to get to. It's, you know, I was a freshman when you were a senior, and so I got beat up by a lot of you guys, my brother included, and you guys, and that was the thing that kind of cracked me up. If you would have told us back then, back in the day, that Anderson would have state championship in 2007, I think we all would have laughed back then, because they're just, at that time, it just didn't seem like it could be a possibility.
Yeah, I remember trying to tackle, you know, tight ends at Colerain or Xavier or, you know, what have you, and it didn't seem to be. We played Moeller in baseball state championship both years that I was there. They kicked us out of the tournament, and, you know, we just weren't at that level. But it's exciting. I mean, I know, you know, guys like Randy Corbett and some others have been part of that building process, and it's exciting to see. And it's exciting to see alumni getting excited about it, too. Like I said, I've been out of the picture for a while, but when I moved back to Florida and got onto an East Coast time zone, it's neat to see all the dialogue that goes around the program, even for people like me that have been gone for 20-plus years.
Yeah, it is great. I mean, talk a little bit about now your path that you went. You went from, you know, Anderson High School, and then talk about where you are now, your current position now as the LPGA president. Talk how that progressed.
Yeah, you know, I got out of school at Miami of Ohio, went to Procter & Gamble, which a lot of good Cincinnatians do, was the brand manager of Crest Toothpaste, and if you'd probably interviewed me when I was 25, I would have told you I'd spent the rest of my life at P&G. I liked Cincinnati, it was home. Procter & Gamble's a great company to be a part of. But about 28 or 29, I had an opportunity to go work in the sports business, and you know from knowing me that, you know, if I could put sports and business together, that's a perfect passion coming together. So I went to Chicago and worked at Wilson Sporting Goods. From there, I got recruited over to TaylorMade, which got purchased by Adidas. That's what had me out in California a long time. I left there to be CEO of a hockey equipment company that ran from 2000 to about 2010, and we sold it in Christmas of 2009, I guess, or 2010, and you know, made three great promises to my wife. I promised we'd never have to move from California because we liked it there. Promised I wouldn't work travel as much as I did in my previous job, and I promised I'd stay out of an airport for at least a year. Well, I went 0-for-3. Took the job as the commissioner of the LPGA in summer of 2009, started in January of 2010. Golf's always been special for me. I mean, for you as a Cincinnati, you can relate. I worked at Coldstream Country Club every summer from the time I was a sophomore until I was, I think, a junior in college. I worked at the golf courses at college. You know, it was always the way I paid money, but golf's kind of a special sport for me. And then with my time at Wilson and TaylorMade, I was always in the golf businesses. So to me, when I got the opportunity to be the commissioner of the LPGA, it seemed like not only a job I would enjoy and could potentially excel in, but an opportunity for me to give something back to the game that's given a lot to me. So, every day when I come into the office, I feel like, you know, I know that this is important. It's a business. I've got to hit numbers. But most important, I think I have the opportunity to leave the game a little bit better for the next generation of young girls and women that want to be part of this game. And hopefully, you know, I can give something back to a game that not only gave me a career, but, you know, gave me a pastime that's been important to me and my family my whole life.
That is just an awesome thing that you've done, Mike. And then also, you know, I'm curious, you know, you always see the last night the NBA draft was on, you see all that. What are your responsibilities as LPGA president?
Well, you know, it's the title's actually commissioner, so all the sports have a title called commissioner, so I'm commissioner of the LPGA, but you're right in thinking kind of president or CEO. I mean, most of, you know, these are pretty major sports organizations, so, you know, in the case of golf and the LPGA, first and foremost, it's about putting together a tournament schedule. In our case, all over the world, you know, we play in, 11 different countries. You know, we start our season in Australia, we play Thailand, Singapore, you know, Japan, China, so we play all over the world, including, I think, 16 times here in North America. It's about TV contracts. It's about, you know, we have 160 countries on average that watch us every week, so not only do we have to have a local TV company produce it, but we're airing that back to 160 countries around the world. Now we're pretty involved in the Olympic movement because golf will return to the Olympics in 2016. And it's, you know, it's managing, you know, your group of athletes, too. Unfortunately, usually when commissioners are notified is when you're finding a player or you're doing something about rules changes, but generally speaking, you're running a business, you're setting goals, you're trying to achieve new levels, and in my case, it's all about creating greater opportunity for the best female golfers in the world and the women who pursue an opportunity and a career within the game, whether that's teaching or club professional. So we've got, you know, a couple thousand members that are teaching club professionals. We've got a few hundred of the best golfers in the world that are playing on our tour, and my job is to make sure that when we're done, we've given them more opportunities than they had when we got here.
That's great. Well, what is, I guess, obviously you're living down Daytona Beach, Florida. That's pretty nice. So what is the best and the worst case, you know, about your job, if there is a worst case?
Well, it's funny. If I tell people the worst case, most people think it's the best case. But, you know, the worst part about the job is I'm on the road virtually every week. So, and that sounds great unless you actually try to live it. Like when I tell people, hey, I just got back from Pinehurst, and, you know, and I'm on my way to Pebble Beach, they'd say, well, that sounds fantastic. And it is, you know, it is, every once in a while you got to pinch yourself and realize you're doing it. But as a father of three, I always say my biggest challenge in life is to make sure that people don't say, he was a great commissioner, but a really crappy father. That'd be terrible. Yeah. That'd be a terrible way to be remembered. So it is, I mean, I do get to see some of the greatest places in the world. I get to meet, you know, some of the best business and sports people in the world, but the balance of that is be careful you don't fall in love with the job part and forget that your number one job is being dad and husband. So that's the balance. It's the best part and the worst part of the job for sure.
I'm going to end it real quick here, and then just talk to you a little bit later on too. But what were your thoughts? I saw that they had 11-year-old Lucy Lee. I think they competed in the U.S. Open. What are your thoughts on that, and then how she did?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that over the last 5 or 6 years, we've sort of had this freakish youth movement every year in the U.S. Women's Open. It seems like, you know, go back 10 years and it was Morgan Pressel at age 14 getting into the Open. You know, 2 years ago it was, four, five, 6 years ago it was Lexi Thompson getting into the Open as a 12-year-old, and now Lucy at 11. I mean, the age just keeps getting smaller and smaller, but today Morgan Pressel plays as a premier athlete on the LPGA Tour, so does Lexi Thompson. So I have a feeling that in the next 10 years we'll be talking about Lucy on the LPGA, but that's one of the things that makes the Open special is you can just go out, try to qualify. If you have a couple good rounds, you might be playing against the best in the world for the biggest person in women's golf history, and it seems like that always captures the attention of the fans. The good news about this year's Open, not only was Lucy an interesting story, but Michelle Wee, after 10 years of people thinking this might be the next big thing, has proven that she probably is the next big thing just a little later than everybody thought, and she's sitting on top of the game. And from a TV ratings perspective, the world in which I live in, it was as good as we've seen in probably 7 years.
That is great. You know, Mike, I really do appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure a lot of your former teammates, and, you know, myself included, you know, I remember you just through my brother, playing with my brother in baseball and all this stuff. And so I do remember you playing, and it's just great talking to you and catching up. And then I'm sure that golf outing that you guys are going to be doing, I'd love to hear the stories of all you guys are going to be throwing out.
You know, we make an agreement that all the phones get sent into a ball so the pictures can't get into trouble.
That's great, Mike. I appreciate you taking the time, and you know, good luck to you, and we'll keep an eye out for you, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.